Hello and welcome to season 3, episode 7 of the D Hoop University podcast. This is your boy Daryl Harris, also known as the Hoopster, and we're happy to be here. Very happy to be here because it is go time. Like ISO, everybody step out. I got this one. It's just me. This is basketball season. Calendar wise, the NFL has stepped aside. College football has stepped aside. March Madness is about to go, you know, do its thing. We're here for college hoops, men's and women's. Before you know it, the WNBA will be starting up as well. But this is go time. This is when it's time to tune in. You know, we let you guys show up late for class. We let you not do the homework for about 2 months now in season 3. It's time to do your homework. You might get a pop quiz here and there. It's like that. We got a lot of guests lined up. Been doing a lot of outreach for the pod and doing some behind the scenes stuff that hopefully translates. Let's get the show on the road. We got shout outs, man. Got to start with shout outs. It's like how we take roll. And man, this is a shout out to the gang. Sometimes I'll write shout outs down so I get them in. Sometimes they're completely off the cuff. And I wrote a few down. I was like, yo, shout out to the gang, man. Shout out. First off, man, shout out to Ace, man. That's my barber. You got your boy looking solid, you know. We kind of 360 with it right about now. But chopped up Sebastian this weekend. That was something that's pretty lit. Shout out to Wit as well. Great weekend with the kiddo. Shout out to Ace, man. That's my dog, man. Y'all gonna hear his voice on here soon enough. I've been telling him to jump on here with me, man. But that's my dog, man. Been the only barber that has touched my hair in Las Vegas. Loyalty, you feel me? But that's my dog for real, man. Shout out to Shiv. Shiv just had a birthday. 28 at midnight. Wonder what's next. What is next? What's next? I can hear him answering this right now. Shout out to my boy Rashawn, man. Shout out to P. Major life moment. He knows what it is. If you know Rashawn, you know what it is as well. But shout out to P-Man. That's my brother. Can't wait to celebrate. Can't wait to toast up. Salute to the gang. Shout out to O. I just got off the phone with O. Truth be told, not too long before I pressed record. That's the fam, man. Shout out to Darrell. Shout out to JB. Shout out to the twins, man. The twins been hooping with the LA Sparks. What a story. Shout out to Rocket, man. Shout out to Rocket. Shout out to Anti-Water. Anti-Water going up. Shout out to New Zeta, man. New Zeta got to, man, shout out to the bros. Shout out to the agents, 7 agents. Union, possibly 2025. We taking trips in 2025, so it's definitely possible. Shout out to Pi Zeta, man. Shout out to Pi Zeta. Shout out to the bros over at UNLV. Shout out to Epsilon Psi. Shout out to Brother Boone. Ran into him at Springs Preserve. Shout out to the guys that's doing the work, man. I got shout out to Brother De Silva in the Nevada legislature, working on getting us reparations. It all's got to start somewhere. Shout out to that boy, man. Look at Sigma Men out here shaking the game. Shout out to Wit as well, man. A deeper shout out because she invited me to speak at her school. And I talked to a bunch of third grade boys and girls separately as part of an event that they have going on at their school to step away from the academics and try to mentor these young kids and pass on some good values. Guys with ties, girls with pearls. Spoke on behalf of what I do as a news producer and touched on some messages that they were highlighting for the kids on my day off and had some goodies to pass out. So that was really cool, man. I was Mr. Harris for a day. That feels crazy. That feels absolutely crazy, but it was a blessing, man. Shout out to the man, Black History Month. Shout out to Black History Month. Shout out to Black History Month. Where is my sound effects? Shout out to Black History Month. It's there we go. Are we live? We experimented a little bit. There we go. I had the, I'll call it a privilege to produce the Black History Month special at my job this year. And I just took it as, you know, slight badge of honor to try and cast a light on the Black community in Las Vegas. And there's a lot of history there as well that I uncovered in doing this. And share that message. It was informative. Sebastian's preschool teacher let me know she watched it and had conversations about it and went to some of the restaurants that I recommended and suggested in it. There's stories that we couldn't even get to because there wasn't enough time in the show. Literally, I was cutting things out of the show that were done and in the rundown 30 minutes prior to filming. And satisfied with the final product. Shout out to Joshua Piguero. He was my anchor. He's a reporter. And another brother that is in the network now. Shout out to Josh. We're going to get him on here soon enough, too. He's doing great work covering the school district. But y'all get the gist of what this is. However many minutes in, and I have simply shouted out those who have been deserving. And, you know, this thing isn't possible without a listenership, without viewers, without an engaged audience. And the goal is to grow this thing. The goal is to trust the work that has been put in, the ears, the hours that have been put in, and know that the trajectory is pointed upward. So that's what we do here at DHU, man. That's what we do. Y'all ready? Oh, I didn't shout the fan, man. I got some new family members, man. Shout out to my cousin Chelsea. Can't end the shout outs without shouting out the fan, man. Twins just arrived. Party of five. Shout out to her. Shout out to my cousin, my big cousin Miranda as well, man. So got some more on the way, and that's always a blessing, man. Shout out to the family. Now, shall we talk some hoops? We shall. We definitely shall. And we got to start with who's hooping. Y'all know I love me a good who's hooping, and we're doing that right off the top. And first and foremost, I drafted him in fantasy. Y'all have heard me talk about how my fantasy squad is going gangbusters this year. And that's the truth. Just know that is the truth. But Evan Mobley. Yo, I'm just going to go off the top real quick of who are the bigs in the league that I would take before Evan Mobley. Give me Anthony Davis. Give me Jokic. Give me, let's see. Sabonis is in that conversation. I'll just put him on the list. Giannis is certainly a big, so let's put him on the list. Jaren Jackson's in the conversation, but I'm not. Wow. Like I said, that was a live exercise just to see who are some of the big men in the conversation that I have with. Karl Anthony Towns is up there. Of course, there's about six, seven. I'll stretch and give you eight people in that conversation in terms of big men in the NBA. Evan Mobley is a top 10 big man in the NBA. Beyond that, he's the essence of, you know, bigs from a half generation prior. There's a lot of Chris Bosh in his game. There's elements of scoring, sound footwork, rebounding, rim protection, pick and roll, mid-range, the three ball is there now. The offensive rebound work is there. The off the dribble work is there. He had a slighter frame coming out of USC. But if you look at some of his dunk highlights this year, off the dribble, he's figuring out how to maximize the frame. Evan Mobley is, mind you, he's playing on a team with elite offensive weapons in Donovan Mitchell, a great point guard in Darius Garland. Guys that are elevating and putting emphasis and stress on the defense so much that Jared Allen, not to say that Jared Allen isn't a great player, but his numbers this year, he's a walking double-double and is a threat to get 16 every night just about. So say Mobley wasn't on such an offensive roster, or he was, you know, it doesn't matter because it's happening. It's happening right now. I put some numbers on that as well over the last month. He's putting up 19, 10.6 rebounds with a steal and two blocks. Shooting 56% from the field, averaging almost a three, getting to the line, and shooting a decent percentage from the line as well. I don't have that number handy, but Evan Mobley, man, he's a two-way power forward that can play minutes at the five, and he's really, really good. It's not much more complex than that. Jalen Duren's having another big season for Detroit. Detroit's squad has been hooping. Did they win tonight? They did win tonight. They are on a six-game winning streak. They are a sleeping giant, possibly, in the Eastern Conference, as constructed. That might have sounded crazy, but there's a lot there. That team plays together well. That team has veterans. I wrote about them earlier this season about how, you know, just the experience added to the locker room in Tobias Harris, Malik Beasley, and Tim Hardaway Jr. That, and hand in hand with the shooting and the spacing that surrounded Cade Cunningham with, along with the breakout that Jalen Duren's continued to have, it, those guys are well-equipped to be a threat to knock somebody off in the first round. That's not out of the question. I think that New York, the Knicks, they're on upset watch, if you ask me, come playoff time, because I think these guys are going to be gassed out and that you'll just be asking a whole lot of Jalen Brunson. Almost every team in the Eastern Conference can stand up to one player. Orlando is in that conversation as well. Talking about Milwaukee, Boston, Cleveland, Indiana. One player isn't taking these guys out. And I say that I say one player just because I'm worried about Karl Anthony Towns holding up. We shall see. Tibbs has got to tone it back on those boys. We've gone down a little tangent, but I got one more who's hooping for you, and that's shout-out to the Rooks. The Rooks have been hooping this year under the radar, none more so than Isaiah Collier. Look at the USC products getting shout-outs and who's hooping back-to-back. But Isaiah Collier, man, I did some research to see how crazy we were talking, right? Because he has been one of the best assist getters throughout the month of February. We can include January in that as well. And that's essentially when he's been handed the keys to just start at point guard for the rest of the season. Utah's not playing for playoff position. On Sexton's right now is out with an ankle injury. Dante George has been getting run sometimes. Dick Collier has been playing so good, or the tank is in effect so strongly, that Keontae George is coming off the bench. But I don't want to rob Isaiah Collier of his contributions and impact on that decision, because bro has been getting to it. He has been getting to it. He fell in the draft. partially because the situation at USC the year when he came out just wasn't ideal. It was a lot of noise surrounding Bronny. It was a guard-heavy team. And USC basketball, man, I don't know what to say about it. That's a whole different conversation at the moment. And it's been happening for some time. But Isaiah Collier's game has certainly translated to the league. He has 1, 2, 3, 4 double-doubles this month. And in the games where he didn't have a double-double, he still had 8, 9, 12 assists. There's just a lot there. I'm watching the games, and it's not nothing. I think this guy's going to be an impact player, but he at least deserves a shout-out in Who's Hooping because he has been hooping. That is for sure. Now, I have to talk about another team that is hooping. You might have heard me talk about them. The Los Angeles Lakers. I talked with O before this podcast, like I said, and I asked him, I said, bro, is the window open this year? Is the title window open? His words, bro, hell yeah. That's how I felt as well. I had to ask it and get some reassurance before just coming on here sounding like my chest is puffed out. But there's reason to be confident in this Lakers turnaround and what this team is now. And it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. I've got a lot of notes on this just because I put together an article that I think is pretty sound. It's hopefully it's going to get published. It may not. I wouldn't take that as, you know, there's a lot of Lakers content. But it was Ben Greenlit. And in this story, it's based around the Lakers' win over the Nuggets, which was their first regular season win over the Denver Nuggets since December 2022. So Sebastian was 18 months, barely crawling around in his brother's full-fledged in preschool now. He's seen a lot in the time that has passed since then, but it's been a minute. The Nuggets have certainly had the Lakers' number along with that regular season record. They bounced them in the playoffs in convincing fashion in the past two seasons. Basically sweeps. So if you wanted to knock the Lakers, you would be completely fair to do so by saying, okay, but how are you going to beat the Nuggets? Because it had been proven that they struggled against the Nuggets. Well, they beat the Nuggets in Denver 123-100 Saturday night. It was Luka's first semi-great game. He had a very good game, but it was Luka's first game where he looked like Luka in a Lakers jersey. And I talked on here after the trade deadline passed and about what this team now is on paper. And feels like there was a lot of the conversation surrounding the Anthony Davis and Luka Doncic trade. It feels as though the conversation was centered around what those two players brought individually to the Lakers or, you know, would be leaving or taking away when they weren't there in the case of Anthony Davis. That really shortchanged the other move that the Lakers made around the deadline, and that was essentially turning D'Angelo Russell's minutes into Dorian Finney-Smith minutes. Those two moves together drastically and basically immediately changed this Lakers team for the better. They are now more switchable on defense. Switchability is a huge thing in the modern NBA. And why they are able to do so is because Austin Reeves is now the smallest person in the rotation outside of 15 minutes of Gabe Vincent. And Gabe Vincent knows where to be and where he's supposed to do for 15 minutes. But guys like Luka, Bron, AD, look at that muscle memory. Luka, Bron, Vando, Rui, Jackson Hayes, Finney Smith. They're all 6'7 and up. You got it. I'll take this guy. Just switch. You know LeBron wants to switch everything. Just switch, switch, just switch, sit back, make them beat us. And rip protection could be a question, but hey, Jackson Hayes has kind of stepped up. But it doesn't really matter because the numbers speak, man. They are in the top 10. Offensively and defensively, ever since Anthony Davis has been moved. And specifically, their defensive rating is in the top 2 in the NBA since Anthony Davis has the last play. Big impact on this as well is pace and tempo. Now that Luke is there specifically, this team doesn't have to run and gun. They can play a half-court slower game where the only time we're really pushing the pace is if we get a turnover. And we know that they know how to execute on turnovers and you know, fast-break opportunities. But other than that, this team is fine using the whole shot clock. If we're going to cut possessions out of a game, that means that those shots now need to be quality shots that are being taken. With Luka and LeBron on the court together or separately, you have two players in the uppermost tier of decision makers and IQ players, along with the talent, of course, on the planet. They're probably going to be able to generate a good look. And they're probably confident enough that if we're averaging out what these fewer shot attempts translate into quality attempts or not, they're going to be there. And you know what other number supports that? They're second in the league in field goal percentage over the same sample size. So not only is the defense up there, which if you want to knock the defense, let me just go ahead and let you know that they're 8-2 in their last 10 with wins over the New York Knicks. They're okay. The Indiana Pacers, they're one of the teams trending upward right now. The Clippers, that was with Kawhi Leonard and Norman Powell and James Harden and Zubac over the Warriors. And now Denver. That's a competitive sample size. They've managed to play a higher elevated brand of defense in that time. They have combined that with generating good shots and making those shots. And then the rest of their numbers are interesting because it kind of middles out. Like they're not leading the league in free throw attempts. They're not leading the league in three-pointers or three-point percentage over this stretch. Everything else is kind of in the middle. Because they're not stretching the possessions to make them, they're not extending the game with, you know, a whole lot of possessions and accumulating these counting stats and leading the league in rebounding or anything like that. No, the game's from the, it's more of a postseason pace. And what makes this team scariest is that they've been prepared for a lot of these moments under J.J. Redick in ways they simply were not with Darvin Ham. That's a big deal. If you're going to now have a roster that has two of the best players in the game, a third option who's having a breakout season in Austin Reeves, and a bunch of semi-veteran, you know, long two-way guys, pause if necessary. You're going to give them good coaching as well? Yeah. The window's open, man. I think the window is open 100%. And will Denver be fun for a series? Not at all. Not at all. Will Oklahoma City be fun for a city, for a series? Not at all. Not at all. It won't be easy, man. But I'm here to, hey, shout out to the Houston Rockets. Incredible game tonight. I got to sit down and watch some extended highlights on it because I'm working the night shift for a couple days. But I'm glad that Minnesota got that comeback 20-point victory in overtime tonight, because I feel like Oklahoma City is – I feel like they're getting a little ahead of themselves, man. And maybe this is, you know, just an opposing fan, a fan from an opposing team. Hating. You can call it hating. Trust me, I've written about Oklahoma City. I love what's going on over there. So as a fan, I don't mind being called a hater. But it feels like they're thinking this thing is going to be a little too easy. And there's levels to it. There's levels to it. So this regular season gimmick, them, Cleveland, it's on lock. It's on lock. Shout out to John Schumann, because in his most recent power rankings on NBA.com, Cleveland has the best record in the league, and they're third. Oklahoma City is a half game behind them, and I believe he had Oklahoma City first still. But second was Boston, and Denver was right around there as well, basically saying that, hey, we get it. Y'all are killing it right now in the regular season. But the teams that know how to win in the end are starting to wake up and take these games serious as well. So that Lakers were top five as well. So top five of the power rankings were essentially OKC, Boston, Cleveland, Denver, and LA. And I would group that as the first class title contenders this season right now. It doesn't really, you know, I don't know if anybody crashes that party. I'm kind of willing to bank on those. Trust me, we got plenty to weigh in. We'll talk about it the whole way there, but this Lakers sample size is legit. Lakers sample size is definitely legit. They'll be playing Dallas Tuesday night. That's going to be insane. Absolutely insane. So that's something to pay attention to there. I have to ask a question while we're in the Western Conference. And this is a very funny question. And this will begin the negativity of the podcast. But is it over in Phoenix? Feels like it's over. Are we surprised? We can't really be surprised, can we? The first episode of this podcast. Where is my phone at? The first episode of this podcast. We're talking April of 2023, right? It's me and Shiv. We don't even know where this thing's going yet all the way, but it's me and Shiv, and we're doing the thing that we have done for a while. We're just ready to talk hoops, right? First episode of the pod, we broke into two episodes. So part B was called the Homie Hopper, right? And Shiv, rather iconically, was like, yo, man, KD's kind of a homie hopper. Like, you know that guy that's, you know, this is his clique right now. Now this is his clique. Now this is his crew. He doesn't talk to the old crew anymore. And he's at a new school now and things like that. And we compared what was going on in Phoenix to a first date between Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, because they made the playoffs that year. And they won one series off of just, look, we have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker on the same team. We're good enough to make it to the second round. And then they got to the second round, and I want to say it was Denver, but they got ran off the court by whoever they were playing. And it was the first year. We were like, okay, look, this is the first date. They're getting to know each other. They're, you know, starry-eyed. Wow, I've never met anybody like you. You know, you make my life so much better. Can't wait to get to know you some more. Oh, this is perfect. You know what I mean? And yeah, I don't know. The bio for this episode says, we tried to tell you how the Phoenix Suns aren't ready to bring home the mom. It was a relationship where, yeah, let's, you know, this works in theory, but let's give it time. Maybe it's the one that's going to last. Maybe it's not. And it seemed like it ended at the trade deadline when Phoenix was desperately trying to get Jimmy Butler and even shopping Kevin Durant to do so. Like, clearance sale, like last call, store closing. Do you want Kevin Durant? And how was Kevin Durant supposed to take Kevin Durant, somebody that minds his business, likes to, you know, be a basketball player as a for a living. So he's not going to be too problematic wherever he goes, but you could tell he's been a little aggravated as of late because he's been chirping with folks on Twitter and not being defensive, more coming to the defense of some topics of players and of the current NBA, things that I appreciate. But you don't do this when just for the heck of it. Like, KD's not really trolling. Trolling is different. But, he'll get his troll tweets off when he fires somebody up. But, like, all together, it's like, I don't know what's going on here for real. And the breakup text was basically the deadline. It's like, look, man, mentally, we're thinking about what's next already. Sorry. And this is why a team's trying to chase for a playoff seat. They're 11th in the West. Like, bro. So we asked the question, is it over in Phoenix? Because it kind of feels like it's over. New owner syndrome. You've leveraged all these picks for Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant. And if KD wants out or if Booker wants out, it's over. It's over. But it slightly remains to be seen. Let's check the standings real quick to see where they stand as we approach the end of February. There's about 25, 30 tops games or so left in the regular season. Yeah. Phoenix, 11th in the West, two games out of the play-in tournament, trying to chase the Kings, Warriors, Mavericks, Wolves, and it only gets better from there. That's 7 through 10. It's not looking good. And I have to be the bearer of bad news for a team on the Eastern Conference where it's not good. It's just not good. Matter of fact, it's very bad. That's in Philadelphia. They are 20 and 37. In the Western Conference, they would only be ahead of New Orleans and Utah. And the Western Conference has a better record in interconference matchups this game by about 30 games or so. So it's definitively more competitive in the West than it is in the East. And Philadelphia is 20 and 37. They're on an 8-game losing streak. Paul George has played in almost all of these games. Joel Embiid has played in some of them. But I keep checking the scores or I'm watching. And I'm like, okay, their guys are playing tonight. Let's see what happens. All their guys played and they lost to the Nets? Yo. Tonight, all their guys played and they let Chicago score 142. They lost by 30. It's very bad, man. It's very, very bad. I just can't put it differently. The process is over. I hate to say it. The process is over, and I don't know what that means. Because, yeah, somebody will talk themselves into trading for Joel Embiid if you say Joel Embiid is available. But what sound organization is giving you what prime Joel Embiid is worth, or what any Joel Embiid should be getting on the trade market, given the current state of Joel Embiid? He is visually far from his best self. And that's the best way I can put it. What are you to wonder about what he'll be in 2 to 3, 4, 5 years? It gets a little bleak. So saying the process over just means, all right, dump Joel Embiid. Look what they got for... They dumped Ben Simmons and somehow got James Harden, right? Let's just go back a little bit. Two players that almost mutually sunk their value as much as possible just so their team could move them. And neither team has anything to show for it on the back end now. Ben Simmons was bought out of his contract. They didn't get a singular second round pick, promising young player, stud, all-star, anything for Ben Simmons. He was just there, collected a check, and now he's gone. Same with James Harden in Philadelphia. He was there for a couple seasons, and now he's gone. And he replaced him with Paul George, who is probably on the worst contract in the NBA. They're going to be paying this guy $50 million. And that's not that he's such a bad player and doesn't deserve that, but you are so hamstrung as an organization in terms of what you can do because this guy's on the books. Next to that guy that I also said might be very difficult to trade given his current state, that's going to be making $50 million in Joel Embiid. And you have this amazing bright spot, Tyrese Maxey, who's finally just like, you can see in some of the numbers where he's just like, I don't know, bro. I went as hard as I could for about a month. I averaged 30. We kind of did our thing, kept the door open for a little bit, but it's bad, bro. I can't do it. How am I supposed to do it? It's bad, dude. It's over. I'm sorry. Like, you just have to be completely honest about it at this point. Like, I don't know what starting over looks like, but you can't keep acting like this is a title team. Unfortunately, it's not. It's not anymore. You're 11th in the Eastern Conference. I don't know. You know, I don't like to be negative Nancy on the pod. Y'all know I like to big up things and be positive and whatever. But every now and then, I can't lie to you. It feels good to just let somebody have it. That's about it for the pod, man. I appreciate everybody who is tuned in, supporting, and following along. Do your homework, darn it. Leave the show a review, a rating, and like, share, follow, comment, be engaged. That is all your homework is as a, you know, attendee or somebody who is enrolled at the Hoop University. Just, you know, do something to give back, will you? Appreciate y'all. Plenty more to come this week and in the weeks following. And y'all know where to find me. Till next time.